The sermon this evening comes from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, as we continue on in the Ten Commandments. Remember the context of Exodus chapter 20. God has come down on the mountain. There are thunderings. There are lightnings. The mountain is shaking. The people are terrified as God speaks to them. And as he speaks to them, as he unfolds the reality of what it means, the greatest commandments, what it means to love God and to love our neighbors. He speaks to us in these terms. He's moved from speaking, "These are the ways that you honor me. You shall have no other God in my face. You shall not make or worship any graven image. You shall not bear my name in emptiness. You shall not take my name in vain. You shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Now a transition comes, and he's saying, this is the highest piece of loving your neighbor. And he comes to the second tablet, Exodus 20, 12. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Pray with me. God, help each of us to see the ways in which we are to honor our fathers and our mothers, that our days may be prolonged, that is, that we will not be destroyed, that we will not suffer loss, that we will walk in the ways that glorify you and bless you. Please help us now, Lord, to see these truths. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a heavy scripture that's put on each of us. As we consider the scripture and as I talk about these things with different people, oftentimes excuses will start to come up, or reasonings why not to honor our father and mother. There's a whole host of reasons. You could interview my children and you could work with them and you could find they would have reasons to say, that guy, I know him too well. There's too much I've seen from him. How can I blindly follow him? How can I blindly obey him? Well, that's a reality and a truth with every individual in this world. Every one of us could look and find reasons not to honor our father, not to honor our mother, not to obey our father, not to obey our mother. It's like that ridiculous excuse for not coming to church. There are too many hypocrites there. And people shoot back rightly, and there's hypocrites at Walmart too. But you still go there. As God has arranged the world, there is a headship. There is leadership in the world. In every relationship, there is headship. There is leadership in the world. If there are two people driving a car, only one should be working the steering wheel. If they're not doing it, then someone else sometimes grabs the steering wheel, has been my experience. But it always goes better when one person is focusing, paying attention, working both the pedals and the steering wheel. Things turn into a mess otherwise. I got off track in this, not necessarily in the driving too, but not for this illustration. When I was growing up and I was brought into a Boy Scout troop, in the midst of that troop, my mother's cousin, decided to start another troop, and he took me with him to start a brand new scout troop. And when that happened, me, being the most experienced scout of 2 years, became the senior patrol leader. My first office in scouts was the Boy Scout that was in charge of everyone else. That was not good for me in the long run. As time went on, and after I graduated high school, I went to art school. And then they tried to put me on a team of artists where we were supposed to develop a project together. And it was going very poorly. And the teacher eventually came around, and after listening to me rant or complain or make excuses, whatever was going on, she asked, "Micah Ramsey, don't you know how to be a part of a team?" I said, "Yes, I do, if everyone just does what I tell them to do." We find ourselves in that place. Our relationships would get along much better, we think, if everyone would just do what we tell them to do. The reality is, in life, all of us have leaders over us. Leaders, providers, protectors. Oftentimes, these are our parents. So we look to see and we say, okay, God is telling us, in my system, in my life, in my family, God has provided people to be in charge. And the highest order and the highest love to make our lives work, our families work, our work structures work, our churches work. Somebody has to be in charge. And if they are in charge, that means the rest of us in those settings have to listen. Or else it's a mess. I've seen loved ones who think that it's good to let the child lead the family as much as possible. And I have never seen an angrier, sadder child than the one where the parents and grandparents literally come down, kneel down to, and ask, "Where would you like to spend the night tonight? Whose house do you want to go to?" I had seen settings where the family allowed the child to arrange, I'll say, 12 adults around the dinner table so that the 3-year-old could have the exact layout they wanted around. Now, if you're a child and that sounds good to you, I want you to know that place was a mess and I was infuriated. It's a ridiculous scenario. Now, when God brings us into the place where we are to listen, we have our excuses. But again, someone needs to be in charge. So the call for you tonight is for you to honor your providers, to honor your protectors. And in most cases, this is our parents as well. Our first step, and this is a heavy one for a number of us here. Our first step is to heal from your parents' failures. Now, all of us probably have these things. All of us probably have parents that failed. I know a number of us, we have parents who have failed drastically. Now, when God speaks to us and he tells us to honor our fathers and our mothers, if we moved into Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll do that later, he says, obey them in the Lord. And most of the time, that's going to work. For those of us here in this setting, in this church family, we at least have elders who are in the Lord, who will be helpful and care for us. Most of us here, we have parents who are in the Lord, and that's helpful for us in our reasoning and our obeying. Now, for those of us who are actively injured by the failures and shortcomings of our parents, Psalm 27:10 says this, "For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up." This being failed by your parents, it's not over. Being failed by your parents in whatever degree, that's not the end. You are cared for and you are loved. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." So being broken, being injured, having imperfect parents, and everybody has imperfect parents. Now, not all of us have been injured as deeply as you have, but that doesn't leave you undone, lost, unredeemable. You're actually cared for and blessed. Maybe cared for and blessed more than those of us who had better parents. Because your Heavenly Father will move into those roles and heal those parts of your heart. Psalm 2:7. I surely tell of the decree. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." And it's in Christ Jesus that these things are answered. It's in Christ Jesus that He is our Heavenly Father. You have that perfect relationship with your Heavenly Father despite your parents' failures. And also under this first step, this is an admonition. Don't add to your parents' failures. That would be a tragedy for you, to add to your parents' failures. They had these shortcomings. They could have even been all-out villains or all-out fools. I don't know. They had these shortcomings. But it is for you to heal, to rise beyond those, and to grow up into the call of Christ Jesus, this upward call. So don't see yourselves as broken or unredeemable because of your parents' failures. Certainly, do not continue on in your parents' failures. But look and see the commandments of God and move forward in them. So our next step, obey your leaders, protectors, and providers in the Lord. Exodus 20:12, again, honor your father and your mother. Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. If we went around and did a survey in this room, and we asked people, can you tell me of the times that you disobeyed your parents and it hurt? I think all of us just about could say, yeah. Maybe not physically, but maybe physically. Maybe spiritually. Maybe financially, with your money, maybe career-wise. We could all look at times and see times where we told our parents in some fashion, no. And it's hurt. Here we are told that when we honor them, when we obey them, when we listen to them, we are protected and we are cared for. Romans 13:1, this is extended. Every person is to be in subjection to governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those who resist, and those who exist are established by God. And we understand that when we resist, children, when you resist your parents, you are resisting God Himself, His authority that is over you. That's a terrifying and dreadful thing. It's a dark place to find ourselves. We look also and see that God extends this within the context of the church. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. God puts people in your lives that watch over your souls. Let that sink in. God intends to do that work with people in your lives. When the preacher speaks to you, he's doing so with the heart and the calling to watch over your soul. When the elders speak to you, they're doing so with the calling and the heart to watch over your souls. This is a blessing, and it is to be a blessing with us. And if we take that and move it along and look at it in the context of Exodus chapter 20, where it says, so that your days will be prolonged on the earth. It is so that you will be protected, that you will be blessed, that you will be cared for. So we flow along now into our third step. Honor your father and mother in the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, For this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. An extended reading now of Romans 13, 2 through 4. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation. We can look at this as judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause for fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. And we have experienced that. When we do the things that we're called to do, we get praise. It is a blessing. It is a hope. And I've told this story many times about in church when I shared my testimony for the first time. And then I went and I sat down next to my dad, and my heart was crying out for my dad to say something good to me. I wanted my father to look at me and smile. I wanted my father to be happy with me. And in that moment, he looked out of the corner of his eye at me. I remember his eyes were wet with tears. And he just said, "Good job." And that little itty bitty good job made my eyes fill up with tears. And when I blinked, they ran down my face. I remember to this day. Don't you want your father to be happy with you? Don't you want your parents to be happy with you? Your parents in the Lord, your real parents, everything that you've been given, the authorities that are in place. We see that there was this strange phenomenon even with Jesus. Jesus, when he came to earth, although he was king, although he was God himself, he emptied himself and he placed himself under the law. Take that in for a second. He placed himself under the law. And when he was in this setting, when he was on trial, he's doing his thing where he's keeping his mouth shut. Ananias, at that point, here it is, Matthew 26, 63. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest said to him, "I adjure you, or I command you, by the living God, you tell us whether you are the Christ or not." At that moment, even Jesus Christ submitted himself to the authority that was in place, and he stopped being silent, and he answered this guy, "It is as you say." If Jesus set that example for us, it's the pathway of life for us to walk into. He yielded to sinful Ananias because of his office and his authority. Acts 23, 2 through 5. The high priest Ananias commanded those standing beside him, this is Paul, to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. Do you sit to try me according to the law, and in violation of the law order me to be struck?" But the bystanders said, "Do you reveal God's high priest?" And Paul said, "I was not aware, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" Even Paul at that place took a step back after having been punched in the face unlawfully. There's a weight and a burden to this. Now we will look and we'll move to our fourth step and we'll deal with what I was about to say. Our fourth step is judge any disobedience as if your life depended on it. So for those of us who have excuses for not honoring our parents, "Well, my parents aren't believers," or "they're not as strong of believers as I am." "My parents have demonstrated that they are altogether unwise," or maybe even your parents might be villains or fools. When can you disobey your parents is the question. Again, Exodus 20:12, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Now here's a term that I've oftentimes had problems with. The term that I've had problems with is a hill to die on. People will say, "Well, that wasn't a hill to die on for me." We were talking to a friend and they'd left the RPCNA, joined another denomination, and they made the statement, it wasn't a hill to die on for me, referencing exclusive psalmody. And I wasn't ready to have that conversation with them. And I would like to have asked, is that really what it was coming down to at that moment? Were you really going to have to die for exclusive psalmody? What was the real issue? What was the real threat? Well, for some of us, if somebody might just use that term, a hill to die on, to say, I wasn't willing to be a bit uncomfortable. That's not the same thing as dying on a hill, being a bit uncomfortable, or not having a preference. What is a place where we can disobey? Now, Exodus 20:12 speaks to it well, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your, gives you, Lord your God gives you. On one hand, if they're keeping the structure God has given them, they're going to be blessed. They're going to actively have the land. They're actively going to live it. They're actively going to be occupying it. On the other hand, the penalty for disobeying parents habitually was execution. If a child was cruel or wicked to their parents, if a child raised a hand or punched a parent, the parent would say, well, you know, I don't know that they ever pulled it off or did it, but the parent could grab the child, take the child to the gate, the assembly would come around, and they would pelt them with rocks until they were dead. I think there was a shortage of fools when this law was kept. As we look, there is a necessity to discipline. There is a necessity to obey. So if we are going to think that you need to disobey your parents, is it a hill to die on? Is there a reason that in depth that you would have to disobey your parents? Acts 4, 19 through 20, we see Peter and John, they say, yes, hill to die on right here. They are on trial and they are being given the commandment, you shall not speak in the name of Jesus. Before the same trial, before the same authority that had been speaking to Jesus and implored him or adjured him, you talk now. At that point, they stood up and said, hill to die on. Acts 4, 19 through 20. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. These are the same characters that killed Jesus. And they said, we're not going to listen to you. I have to talk about Christ Jesus and salvation. This is the hill that we will die on. Where is that place? So there has to be, if you're willing to disobey, a willingness to suffer. Acts 16:3 is this strange place after Acts 15 where the decision had been made, where circumcision wasn't necessary in order to be saved. But we see that in Acts 16, Paul wanted this man to go with him, Timothy, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. We see his willingness to submit and obey, even in the place of suffering, when it wasn't necessary according to the law, or wasn't necessary for salvation. It had been determined not necessary. We have to be in the place where we're willing to submit and obey. We have to watch in Matthew 15, 3 through 8, we see that there can be a pretended religious reason to disobey God. In that section where Jesus was speaking to the Sadducees and Pharisees, they said, why do your disciples blow off the tradition? And he said, why do you, for the sake of your tradition, blow off the law? They said, your disciples don't wash their hands right before they eat. And he said, yeah, but you say a man doesn't have to honor his father and mother if he's given his money to you, that it's Corbin. An appearance of religion. We can't use religion as an excuse to dishonor our father and mother. In fact, James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. We see this relationship with the older generation, a care for them and a blessedness upon them. Our next step is number 5. This is watch out for complicated excuses for disobedience. We can justify anything in our own minds. We can make up the most convoluted excuses for not obeying authority. And we can be fully convinced in our own mind and in our own heart that we are utterly justified. So watch out for intellectual, theological, and historical gymnastics that go against the clear teaching of Scripture. That is a threat for us all. Colossians 2:23. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion, in self-abasement, in severe treatment of the body. But James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable." That word reasonable can rightly be translated ready to obey. The wisdom from above is ready to obey. This is the wisdom. The contrary wisdom is that which does not come from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. So you have to weigh that in yourself. If you're thinking, I need to disobey the authorities that God has put in place, is this a wisdom from above? Or is it worldly, earthly, demonic? Now, for those of you who have to decide, am I going to obey my parents or not? Talk to your elders. If you're convinced that you are in the place where your parents do not have God's glory in mind, and their application is not going to be for God's glory, be transparent and talk to your elders. Because it's very possible that you've cultivated a blind spot in justifying your own position and condition, imagining that you are something different, or you have some different position than anybody else has ever had, and so you have to disobey the commandments of God. Now, if parents are giving you some wicked command against the clear teaching of Scripture, and you talk to your elders, our session will say, yeah, that's messed up. You need to obey God here rather than man. We would do that. But don't just go about it blindly on your own. Our next step is see obeying your leaders, protectors and providers as beautiful. When you obey the people God has put in your life, it's beautiful. Proverbs 1:7-9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and an ornament about your neck. When you obey the authority God has put in place, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It adorns you. John 17:3-4. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Jesus walked the earth and he was beautiful, because he glorified the Father. In our lives, and you've seen good employees. You've been able to rejoice with good employees. This past week, we were at a restaurant. We went to Bob Evans in Weirton, West Virginia, and we had this waitress with a Boston accent. And she did fantastic. I have a sister-in-law who almost never smiles. And I looked over and I saw her actually smiling in the moment. This waitress from Boston was doing a fantastic job And it was beautiful. People have served you, and they've done beautiful work before, haven't they? That you've been able to rejoice in. You've been able to delight in. God offers you the opportunity to shine. He offers you the opportunity to be beautiful. The other side is, it's ugly to disobey your parents. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. And right in the center of this is disobedient to parents. For men will be lovers of self, ugly. Lovers of money, ugly. Boastful, ugly. Arrogant, ugly. Revilers, ugly. Disobedient to parents, ugly. Ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of God, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such people as these. Disobedient to parents is ugly. We were recently at an event, and there was a child there that I often grimace when I think of this child because they are so disobedient to their parents. And there was a sound system at this event, and this child kept playing with the sound system after having been told not to. And I went over to the child and I said, "Stop it. Don't touch it." And they looked at me with this distorted face and said, "Eh!" at me. And I said, "That's not cute. That's not funny. It's ugly. And I don't like it." It's appropriate to respond to ugly by speaking to it. It's our role to affirm the things that are good and to renounce the things that are ugly. The very first commandment in our relationship to one another is honor your father and your mother. Can you imagine that you're walking in the pathways of life if you don't? You're certainly not following Christ if you don't, who glorified His Heavenly Father by doing all the work that He had given Him to do. Honor and obey your fathers, your mothers, your protectors, and your providers. Pray with me. Our God, we thank You for having given us eternal truth, the opportunity to follow Your Son, Christ Jesus, with the clear teaching of Your Word. Please help those of us who are in complex situations where it may seem as if we are being directed to disobey Your law by our fathers or our mothers or our leaders. Lord, give us wisdom in those circumstances and the transparency to speak to our elders in those circumstances for the wisdom that we all need. Please help each of us. Please bless our hearts. Give us those hearts that would honor our fathers and mothers, that we would be beautiful, that we would shine for You and Your glory, and that our days will be prolonged on the earth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.